those that who have died while they were in military service. But celebrate we do. This weekend marks the unofficial beginning of summer all the way through Labor Day, doesn't it? There are great Memorial Day savings on cars and trucks. Many people dust off the backyard grills to cook burgers and dogs for the family. Many others take to the roads to go traveling through this great country of ours. And somewhere along the way, you and your family may pause to remember that this country's greatness was secured by the very lives of many of those who served our country. There are parades this weekend that will pause for a sober moment of silence so the living can remember the contribution of the dead. Yesterday, my sons joined with other scouts to place hundreds upon hundreds of flags at the Veterans Cemetery in Rhode Island. Each one of these graves had a name. Each one of these flat stones buried in the ground told the briefest of stories about the resident, where they were born, or when they were born, when they died, and maybe a cross or a Star of David told over their religious affiliation. Certainly not all of them died in battle, but all of them had served their country. When we walked into the cemetery that day, we had no idea how many were buried under the short grass that concealed the flat grave markers. But when we left, we could see this sea of flags waving over each and every grave. It made me think that as a Rhode Island veteran, my own flag will likely be added to that number one day. When I was walking from grave to grave, poking holes in the earth so that my sons could plant the flags behind me, I considered that one day they may be walking in that same field with their sons and daughters, placing a flag over my small gravestone. It would have my name, it would have my date of birth, my date of death, and a small little Christian cross. Is that all that I will be remembered for? You know, we're all going to have our own Memorial Day when we discard these bodies to the grave. People will write about us in an obituary saying where we lived, where we worked, and who was in our family. That family will likely gather together for your Memorial Day and share stories about how you impacted their lives. Have you ever thought what they will share on that Memorial Day? Will they struggle with never being able to resolve that petty conflict that had lingered for years, now that you can no longer be present together to ask for forgiveness, or maybe even to forgive you? Will they rejoice in the confidence that you fought the fight well, that you died as a loyal soldier of the Holy King's army, battling for his kingdom to advance it against this present darkness? Today, I want you to think about your own Memorial Day. And I want to help you to write the script now for how you'll be remembered after your life on earth is over and after you've gone on to your final reward. If you turn to 1 Corinthians, we're picking up where we left off last week in 1 Corinthians 10, at the very end of the chapter. 1 Corinthians 10:31. And if you've got your bulletin, you want to take some notes, I want you to be, even as we were just singing, that you would be able to see Christ through the preaching of the word, that you'd be able to understand how the Spirit's calling you to make your own personal reflections on these scriptures as we go through them today. In your own Memorial Day. 1 Corinthians 10:31. Paul says, "So whether you eat or drink, or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God." Paul isn't just sharing these verses as some kind of a wave of the hand summary solution to this question that came up about what we should eat. I think this verse is a major pivot point in this letter that he wrote to the Corinthians. After all of the advice that he has given to them, after all of the questions that he has answered, as crazy and outlandish as they may be, all the questions that he was willing to answer about how they were willing to compromise on their faith, Paul tells them, 1 Corinthians 10:31, whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. Paul will move into a very specific application of this, and we'll see that in the coming weeks, where he's correcting their lack of orderly worship, that they could do all things to the glory of God, that rebuking their mishandling of the Lord's table, that they could do all things to the glory of God, and encouraging them in the proper use of their spiritual gifts, that they could do all things to the glory of God. And all this before he launches into one of the most quoted lessons on love and what love is in 1 Corinthians 13. We'll actually spend our summer there. But we're going to pause here today on this verse. And I want you to consider its pivotal implication on us today, this very day. Whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. Let's have a moment of prayer. Father, we thank you that through your word, your spirit can move our hearts. You can touch our lives and bring us closer into that relationship with you. Father, whatever is said of us on earth once we leave, may it pale compared to what's said of us once we enter into your eternal kingdom, that our names are written in the Lamb's book of life because of his sacrifice on the cross. Father, may you be glorified in all of our lives, in all that we do. May you be glorified even more in our final redemption, the God who saves, adopting the loneliest sinner into your family. Fill us with wonder at your word today, Lord. Let your spirit move freely amongst us as we seek to be transformed more and more into the image of your Son. It's in his name that we pray. Amen. Amen. So thinking of your Memorial Day, how will your life be summed up? Look at how we've come to know these Corinthians in the past few weeks we've been studying this book, these Corinthians who died long ago. We see the issues and the problems in the church because they'd wandered from the truth. Not to overly simplify it, but they had taken their eyes off of the prize that is in Christ Jesus. They had forgotten their purpose. Let me ask you, while the pages of your life are still being written today, and should the Lord tarry tomorrow, and as your life continues on, when you think of your memorial, what is your purpose? What is your purpose? Again, please, as thoughts come to mind, take the time to jot them down to your bulletin. But as you consider this command from Paul, whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. Do you see this as your purpose in life? The Shorter Catechism puts the first question this way. What is the chief and highest end of man? What is the chief and highest end of man? The answer is man's chief and highest end is to glorify God and to fully enjoy him forever. Man's chief and highest end is to glorify God and fully to enjoy him forever. You might be able to recite this answer with your lips, but is this the purpose of your life? The Corinthians had strayed from that purpose, and Paul is deliberately and diligently and lovingly trying to bring the church of Corinth back to its original purpose. Paul's not sharing some newfangled mission statement with the church to get them pumped up. He's sharing the same old truth. We know at the end of the book of Ecclesiastes, after all the folly of seeking to find love in all the wrong places, this is the final advice. I'd encourage you to write these verses down as we go through them. There'll be many today. Ecclesiastes 12:13. The end of the matter, all has been heard. Fear God and keep his commandments. For this is the whole duty of man. Whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. The Corinthians were doing all things for their glory, and they were giving God as credit as co-star in the film of their lives. Remember how Paul started this letter in 1 Corinthians 1:28? He said that God chose what is low and despised in this world, even things that are not, to bring to nothing things that are, so that no flesh may glory in the presence of God. And because of him, you're in Christ Jesus, who became to us wisdom from God, righteousness and sanctification and redemption, so that, as it is written, let the one who glories glory in the Lord. Is your purpose in your life to glorify yourself or some earthly goal? Is that what they'll be talking about at your funeral? Because no earthly goals will last. No matter how much money you accumulate, no matter how much fame you claim, none of this will last. 1 Peter 1:24 tells us that all flesh is like grass, and all its glory like the flower of grass. The grass withers and the flower falls. All the glory that we can muster up in our short lives will fade away, just like all these beautiful flowers that bloom in the spring, and they'll be crumpled up in the fall. When our purpose in life is our glory, it fades away. But when our purpose in life is God's glory, it never fades away. Now, it's hard for us to imagine His glory. I'm thankful, Ryan, that all the songs we had today were leading up and bringing us into His glory as we were singing about that. But it's still hard for us to imagine His glory. Let me help you build up that picture front and center this morning. Ezekiel 1:26. The 28. Let me read this to you. I write it down so you can look it up later. Ezekiel 1:26 to 28. He shares this vision that above the expanse over their heads, there was a likeness of a throne and the appearance like sapphire. And seated upon the likeness of a throne was the likeness with a human appearance. And upward from what had the appearance of his waist, I saw it as it were gleaming metal, like the appearance of fire enclosed all around. And downward from what had the appearance of his waist, I saw as the appearance of fire, and there was brightness around him, like the appearance of the bow that is in the cloud on the day of rain, so was the appearance of brightness all around him. Listen to this. Such was the appearance and the likeness of the glory of the Lord. This is a picture of the glory of the Lord put into the words we can use. And when Ezekiel saw it, he fell on his face and he heard the voice of one speaking. Now, some define the glory of the Lord as the summation of all of his holy attributes and divine characteristics and unchanging nature. Just like his whole love and his whole mercy would just blow us away, just those attributes alone. Think of all of his attributes combined together in his glory. This is how God described his glory when he was talking to Moses back in Exodus 33:19. He said, I will make all my goodness. Moses asked for God's glory to pass before him. God said, I will make all of my goodness pass before you, and will proclaim before you the name of the Lord. And I will be gracious to who I will be gracious, and I will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. God's glory, it's all of his goodness, it's all of his being, and all of our purpose as Christians. We need to follow his example of displaying his glory. Now, God displayed his glory, didn't he? He displayed his glory when he created everything. The Bible begins, Genesis 1:1, that in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And even to this day, Psalm 19:1 tells us that the heavens continue to declare, what? The glory of God. And the sky above proclaims his handiwork. Revelations 4:11 tells us that worthy are you, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things. And by your will they existed and were created. God is worthy to receive glory because of his creation, in which he displays his glory. And his creation includes you. Isaiah 43:7 says, everyone who's called by my name, whom I created for my glory, whom I formed and made. You were created for the glory of God. This is your purpose. You were created for the glory of God. Far more than just a child bragging about the creation that's stuck to the fridge with some dirty old magnet. You were created for the glory of God. And you were created specifically as a reflector of the glory of God. Genesis 1:26 says, "Then God said, 'Let us make man in our image, after our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the heavens, and over the livestock, and all the earth, and over every creeping thing that's on the earth.' This is your purpose, to reflect the glory of God into creation, because you were made in his image. You've been built with the capacity to love, unlike the rest of creation. You've been fashioned with the heart to worship God, unlike the rest of creation. You've been made beautiful because he is beautiful. No other creature, not even the angels, can forgive, because you reflect the very image of the Creator through his creation. You're made in his image. And what does he command us to do from the very beginning? Genesis 1:28 says that God blessed them, and God said to them, and he says to us, "Be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over all the fish of the sea, the birds of the heaven, and over every living thing that moves on the earth." The image bearers of God, the reflectors of God's glory, are to fill the earth with God's glory. Psalm 72, 18 and 19 says, "Blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel, who alone does wondrous things. Blessed be his glorious name forever. May the whole earth be filled with his glory." Amen and amen and amen. The Corinthians, they lost sight of this purpose. The world today has lost sight of this purpose. And sadly, even the church in America has lost sight of this purpose. The chief end of man has become to glorify man. This can never work. One man is only glorified at the expense of another man. One man is only lifted up when another man is brought down. Another man or woman or child who was made in the image of God. Paul knows this about the Corinthians, and he brings them back to their purpose. He says, "Whatever you do, do all things to the glory of God." He says the same type of thing to the Colossians. Colossians 3:17, he says, "Whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God the Father through him." When we do all to the glory of God, when God receives all of the glory, doesn't that propagate the original command, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth, and to fill the earth with his glory? And one of my favorite verses, Psalm 96:3, it says, "Declare, shout out, declare his glory among the nations. Declare his marvelous works amongst all the peoples." That moves us into this second question I want you to consider for your memorial. We talked about what's your purpose, but what is your passion? Let's go over to Colossians. Turn to Colossians for a minute. Turn to chapter number 1. I hope this understanding, this re-understanding of your purpose has helped rekindle your passion, or to fan the flame of your holy passion. Now, we read in Colossians 3:17, "Whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him." But I want to show you the context of all this in Colossians chapter 1. Colossians 1, 9 to 13. There's a lot in here, so listen closely. Maybe make some marks and go back to this later on this week. Colossians 1, 9 to 13. "And so from the day we heard, we have not ceased to pray for you, asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, bearing fruit in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power, according to his glorious might, for all endurance and patience with joy, giving thanks to the Father, who's qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. He's delivered us from the domain of darkness and transformed us into the kingdom of his beloved Son. That's the background of that letter before Paul even tells them that they need to do everything in word or deed to glorify God. But Paul shares that because that is Paul's passion for these believers. That knowing God's will, that we can walk in it with his strength and for his glory. Is this your passion for your life? That according to his glorious might, that you may be pleasing to God. That you may be bearing fruit in every good work as his glory is being made known through you. And all of this is not just these goody-two-shoes busy works, right? Look at where it flows from in Colossians 1, 27 to 28. It's not just our intent to be good that makes a difference. Look at the source. And Colossians 1, 27 to 28 says, to them God chose to make known how great among the Gentiles are the riches of the glory of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Him we proclaim, warning everyone and teaching everyone with all wisdom, that we may present everyone mature in Christ. What is your passion? Is it to reveal the riches of the glory of this mystery? Is it to proclaim the hope of Christ that everyone may be presented mature in Christ? Isn't this absolutely marvelous that the hope of Christ is within you? That every single place that you go, the church is extended and the glory of God is advanced because Christ is within you. John 1:14 tells us that Christ, the Word, became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, the glory as of the only Son of the Father, full of grace and truth. This is the glory that's within you. Look at the verses 15 in Colossians 1. Paul gives another picture of who Christ is, that he is the image of the invisible God. Just like we are image bearers of our Creator, Christ is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created. See how it comes full circle? By him all things were created, in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things were created through him and for him. And he's before all things, and in him all things hold together. He's the head of the body, the church. He's the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in everything he might be preeminent. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of his cross. This is the hope of glory that is Christ that's within you, that can be reflected out to the world that's around you. You know, our passion is not just to share this truth so that people can know Christ and be saved. Our passion is to share the gospel that his glory may abound. Our passion is not evangelism. Our passion is that the glory of Christ might abound. Look at the cover of your bulletin, John 15, 7 to 8. This is what he reminds us. That if you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit and prove to be my disciples. This isn't just a matter of trying to get more people on a church member list. This is about God's glory being magnified as more and more people come to submit to him and we're seen as being disciples of Jesus Christ. Our passion is not just evangelism. Our passion is that the glory of Christ may abound. Our passion is not just missions. Our passion is that the glory of Christ might be made known in all the corners of the earth, and in Spain, in Turkey, in India, in Malaysia, not just New England, but across the world, that people that we've never met, that they would proclaim the glory of God in places that we may never see. What is your passion? May it be the same passion and desire as Christ. John 17, 24, he says, Father, I desire, Jesus says, Father, I desire that they also, whom you've given me, may be with me where I am to see my glory that you've given me because you loved me before the foundation of the world. Let's look at the last part of your memorial. We have lived a life of purpose for the kingdom. We have lived a life of passion for the glory of the King to be spread throughout his creation. This brings us to our last point. What is your plan? What is your plan? We've talked about your purpose. We've talked about your passion. But what is your plan? Some of you might be responding to what you've already heard by guilt and shame, that you've been living your own life for your own glory. The devil might right now be whispering into your ear the secret sins that you've done so you would not hear that God made you in his image for his glory, that Christ died so that you could be forgiven of these sins. Don't fall into that trap. After Paul prompted the Corinthians to do all things to the glory of God, he gave them a path forward that they might be able to do so. 1 Corinthians 11, 1, he says, be imitators of me as I am of Christ. Our plan cannot be beating ourselves up or where we've fallen short, hoping somehow that out of the pain and the shame that we would stop sinning. No, but as sad as it sounds, this is a selfish and self-centered approach. When you heap dirt upon yourselves, you bury the glory of Christ. When God reveals your sin, he calls you to repent of it, not to wallow in it and to give up. We're to come to Christ and to receive his forgiveness, or the cross is meaningless. But then we are to walk forward from there as his standard bearers in his image and for his glory. 1 Peter 4:11 tells us that whoever speaks as one who speaks oracles of God or truths of God, whoever serves as one who serves by the strength that God supplies, in order that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. To him belong the glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. As you plan on leaving here today, you need to understand this core truth. For some of you, this might be very bad news. There is no neutral action in life. There is no neutral action in life. Every single decision that you make is a spiritual decision. Every single action that you take is a spiritual action. Every single moment is a time to advance the kingdom of heaven. Do not think for a moment that you can just leave here today and just go with the flow around you. If you understand your purpose in Christ, if you have a passion for Christ, then through the strength he provides, may you do all things for his glory, everything for his glory, every word, every deed, every thought, captive to Christ, surrendered to him for his glory. Romans 5:2 tells us that through him we've also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. No, we will not be perfect. Yes, we will stumble and fall. But the one who fell with the weight of the cross on his back will pick us up and forgive us as we continue on this journey. 2 Corinthians 3:18 describes that we all, with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord, we're being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord who is Spirit. We're being transformed. Do you understand that? Every day we're being transformed more and more into the image of Christ. We're being changed and transformed every day more and more into the likeness of Christ. Until that final day when the transformation is complete. Our Memorial Day. You know, 100 years from now, if Jesus has not yet returned, some small child that never knew me is going to place a flag over my aged granite gravestone. They'll see my name blurred against the hundreds of other names as they move quickly and quietly to honor the dead. They will never know my memorial. They will never know whether I lived a life to glorify myself or if I lived my life to be poured out like a drink offering to glorify God. But God will know. Psalm 73:24 says, "You guide me with your counsel, and afterwards you receive me to glory." My focus then won't be on that 6-foot plot of earth that I have left behind, but upon that which lays before me. Revelation 21:23 says, "And the city has no need of sun or moon to shine on it, for the glory of God gives its light, and its lamp is the Lamb." This will be my memorial day. This will be the memorial day for all that love Christ. Jesus talks in Matthew 24:30. He says, "Then will appear from heaven the sign of the Son of Man, and then all the tribes of the earth will mourn. And they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and with great glory." May we look forward to that day. And may we glorify God with everything in our lives as we go through that. I give you the same commendation that Paul gave to the Colossians, that you would let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Let's pray. Father God, we do give thanks to you. We thank you that in all your glory, you would send your Son down to this earth, that you would have a path for us to be reunited with you, to be set right with you, because your Son would set aside his glory and come down to this dirty, sinful earth so that we might know you. We thank you, Father, that your desire is that your glory be made known from before creation until after that final day when he returns in the new heaven and the new earth. You will be glorified. We thank you that we would know you even now in these lives, that we'd be able to be the ones that are walking forward in this battle for you, that on our Memorial Day, we'd be in front of you receiving that reward as your good and faithful servants that can enter into the joy of our Master. And we long for that day, and we ask for your provision, your guidance as we continue on in this life. In your Son's name we pray. Amen. Amen.